Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Long Island, New York, the best wrestling podcast in the world, Joseph Crush, Nikki Noodles, Bad News Canali, and Nick Jersey, the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 27 of the Wrestling Journal Podcast, brought to you by WrestleBuzz, at WrestleBuzz on Instagram, at WrestleBuzz with three Z's on Twitter. It is the one and only Joseph Crush, here with my brethren, NJ3. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. Bad News Canali, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. How's it going, boys?
Pretty good. Nikki Noodles.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Yeah, how's happening?
Hey, bro. We're live. Live to tape here. Shit happens. Before we get into this eventful week of wrestling, a few things I want to talk about with you guys.
Do you love fantasy sports and professional wrestling? Of course you do. So join Paper Champion. It's free to play, win real prizes, gifts, trophies, and more. Signups for Season 5 are currently underway. Do you have what it takes to be the next Paper Champion? If so, contact us at kayfabecup@gmail.com. Once again, that is kayfabecup@gmail.com. Paper Champion, fantasy wrestling done right.
Rumor mill going around, circulating. Vince McMahon is waiting for the right time to bring back Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. And apparently he wants them to main event, or maybe not main event, but have a feud end up at the next WrestleMania where there will be fans. Nikki Noodles, I want your opinion on this. First of all, bringing back Ronda is, I think, good for business. I was a fan of her when she was around. And obviously the return of Becky is good as well. Especially for the women's division. But I think the way it was reported was that he wants them back for WrestleMania. Like, this is like up to him. But I mean, I guess that's however you want to interpret it. But just your opinion on this possibility of this happening.
Yeah, it'd be huge. I mean, Ronda's a major draw. So is Becky. You're talking about two of the biggest names in the wrestling industry, the fighting industry, and the entertainment industry. It'd be a huge shot in the arm considering all that's been going on with the women's division of late. It's not very action-packed, to say the least. And you don't want to bring them back with no one around, you know what I mean? I think it would really be a huge draw and a big opportunity to get the women's division going in the right direction again. And no one better than a face Becky versus a heel Ronda would be epic. So I'm all for it, and especially of something of WrestleMania magnitude.
Yeah, I think they're both the caliber that is needed right now for the women's division. I mean, they're doing some good things, but when you have arguably three of the top women stars in WWE out right now, with being Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte, I mean, it's a hit. It's definitely a hit.
Yeah. Any info out on like when Becky's due with the baby?
I think December. I think I saw
December. So I mean, if you know, 3 months to Mania would give her plenty of time to get back in shape and do her thing if that's the direction they want to go. So
yeah, we also got and then consider the fact of her wanting to spend time with her newborn child as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, it is. I mean, we'll see what happens. I expect Ronda back. I actually wanted to get into that as well. James Storm actually has been training with her, and Travis Brown, he had a little session with her recently, and he had an interview with Busted Open Radio, and he had said, outside of Kurt Angle, he's never worked with anyone that's not like that came through this business that was like so invested in it and like actually cared about it. So I thought that was pretty cool. Bad news, Tom. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hit us with that? Some bad news.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Yeah, unfortunately, our old friend COVID is going through down in NXT, down there, the Performance Center. And it seems like, from what I just saw today, a bunch of the NXT talent or trainees might have called in the Florida, what is it called here? Orange County Health Strike Team, if you can believe that name. Sounds like something out of a bad cop movie. And they're going and they could say a hot spot because of all the spikes down there. And they're saying that these so-called, you know, the people that, you know, complained, saying that they're anti-maskers supposedly down there. They're not following the protocols. I mean, WWE themselves are, you know, telling them you got to do this, but it seems like there's like certain bad apples down there. They're saying, oh, you know, it is what it is with this COVID. But yeah, I mean, it's not good down there. And yeah, I think there's like 17 places down there, and WWE is like three of them on this so-called list. So it's not good. So yeah, they made the list down there. It's not good.
Jeez, I think we had said it was the Amway Center, Full Sail, and the Performance Center that were all on the list for hotspots. So that's no bueno. Hopefully they take care of that. Vince may have to throw in a couple pennies to
that's something to happen
to get off that list. NJ3, I want to hit Noodles on this too because he has his opinion, but I want to get your thoughts. On Big Bill making a comeback for Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Okay. I got nervous. Which way you're going to go with this question? No.
I don't know where you think he was going with this question.
I do. Red, white, and blue.
We're off COVID.
I know. You know, it's always easy to go back to that quick want to get initial subscriptions to the WWE Network and viewership because you bring Goldberg back and he's a household name. But I think it puts you into like the position that we kind of are in and we've been teetering in over the last 10 years of relying too much on part-time guys to carry parts of the year for wrestling. And I know it's very easy. Oh, just get Goldberg back. Big draw, big name. Put him in the Royal Rumble. And to be honest, he's a legitimate chance to win it, right? Because he's beaten Bray. He's beaten Brock. Didn't he beat Kevin Owens? No.
Yeah.
So he won the title. Yeah, he did. You know what I'm saying? So like it's always so believable. Nothing against Goldberg at this point. I'm happy that he's had a much better run. So like the lasting impressions in WWE have been better with him. But when are we going to stop? You know, when is enough going to be enough with him?
Yeah, and I know his contract calls for appearances, so I guess you have to fill those voids. But I just don't think him – I guess it remains to be seen why they're bringing him back. But normally around Rumble WrestleMania season, it's for a big hit. But I don't think right now is a need for Goldberg to bring in those subscription views. And I think they're doing – I believe they're doing okay. Maybe on the Raw side, but you can only imagine they're going to set up him versus Reigns. I think that's like the ultimate. It would be the easy answer here. I just think that he's not, and I could be totally wrong. I don't think he's in it for to put guys over. That's my issue. I think he's there to have his son watch and have a successful wrestling career. Because my son wasn't alive for his first run in WCW. And I don't think he'd agree to come back to fucking get shit on. I know he lost to Lesnar the first, whatever, that at WrestleMania. But, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's a safe move. And, Noodles, I want your opinion on this because we've had discussions already.
Well, I mean, the main event for this past Mania that was supposed to happen was supposed to be Goldberg versus Reigns. So, yeah. You're going to get it next year, no matter what happens. So he's got the contractual obligations. So that's definitely going to happen. I think, I'm a huge Goldberg guy. I love Goldberg, but his last two performances have truly put a sour taste in all of our minds. You know, it's like, you know, he almost killed the Undertaker. Every match seems to last no more than fucking 2.5 minutes. It's hard to rally around that and keep supporting the same well over and over again. But you know, since he's been back though, he did lose to Lesnar. He did lose to Undertaker. He got squashed by Strowman. So to say that he wouldn't put guys over is I think, a tough thing to say because he's going to lose to Reigns. There's no question about that, too.
Yeah. You'd hope so.
Nah, he's got to. He's got to because I don't know how long the contract is or what it entails or whatnot. But, you know, it's just I hope he can muster up one more good quality match that'll go out at least somewhat on top because the last few showings haven't been good.
Yeah.
And if he keeps going down that trend, it just starts getting embarrassing, not only for him, but for the product. To go to the well and bring back a legend, and then this is what you're giving us, it's a pretty tough pill to swallow.
And I just think, like, when you throw him in a match and just say, all right, just say we do get him versus
Reigns. In my opinion, he's going to win the Rumble. Everybody that's right now on the main roster, McIntyre won it last year. Orton won it a few years ago. Rollins won it a few years ago. I mean, who's left, really? You know what I mean? To really set up that match.
We can get that point. But I think I just worry because we know how short his matches don't go long. And when I want to see
– that's the part that hurts, yeah.
Yeah, when I see the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship be defended at WrestleMania or a big show, I don't want a fucking two-minute match. I want them to fight for a good amount of time and get a solid match out of it. And that's what I worry with him. It's like I know what I'm getting before the match is already – before the match
that's
happens.
That's the part that sucks. Maybe he could pull a rabbit out of his hat. But working with Roman, I think, gives him the best chance to go forward because they're very similar styles in a way.
I guess, and I don't know. But they put like we had this on the side chat. He had a match with Dolph. So it could have been a fucking barn burner.
Yeah,
what's the point? And
yeah, if you're just gonna come in, spear someone, jackhammer someone, and leave, it's not really entertaining in any way.
Or even like, all right, Grant, he lost against Strowman in minutes, but
I think 1 minute.
It wasn't a good match though. What's the point of bringing him back? Like,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. I guess that's my only gripe. Is
that's not selling subscriptions if you're going to bring a guy back for 30 seconds. You know, not going to get me to pay. That's for sure.
Yeah, and nothing against Goldberg. I loved him growing up. Like, he was great. Was is key word. Like, I mean, it's just not there anymore. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Bad News Canale. Keith Lee, I added this on last night. I apologize. Keith Lee is currently doing vocals for his new theme song. I think we could all raise our hands in joy and have high hopes for this coming forward. Just thoughts on Keith Lee.
Yeah, no, I mean, thank God. I mean, the song he's got now is just all the shit. It's all it is. So, you know, now it's good he's doing it. Hopefully we get something like he had down NXT. Might not be exactly the same, but, you know, hopefully something close to it. So, yeah, happy for that.
Yeah, me too. I think he needs – it just – I don't know what they're doing with him right now, but it's interesting.
Another story for another day.
We'll get into him and Strowman and Raw. But also, Jersey, last night before you actually got on here, we were discussing it pre-show. I'm not sure if you caught any of SmackDown or what happened on SmackDown, but – because I know you're a hard worker and you work on Friday nights. Respect. Much respect.
Hustle.
Daniel Bryan was on Talking Smack afterwards and announced that – this is his last full-time run in WWE right now. So I know this may be a new thing to your ears, but I just want your initial opinion on that.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I
caught him off guard.
No preparation.
No, you did. He had his run, right? He had his run. He had to go away to get himself healthy.
Yeah.
He did for how many years? I think it was 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. If you guys have a better fact, just let me know.
That's about right.
I think about 3 years, he comes back. He had a good run. He's having a second baby. He's definitely a family guy. You know, he doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
He's in it for the love of the business. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he wants to have one more true run for the fact of wrestling leads me to believe that we may get the best Daniel Bryan yet. And I know it's hard to match that run leading to WrestleMania 30 because that was iconic, to say the least. And to kind of be there to watch that kind of culminate was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just unfortunate that if this is his final run and it's not under the circumstances of having those fans packed in those seats and kind of getting that engagement, I hope that it's long enough that he can kind of at least get one more true engagement with the fans for at least his final match.
Yeah. Now, Tom, you had said, I think, I'm not sure if you heard, I didn't get to see the interview. I just saw someone post about it, but that he could still potentially be back for part-time as well.
I think that's what I saw. I think, yeah, this is like his last full-time, but I mean, I'm sure they'll bring him back, you know, like for like a special thing here and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we may not see the last of him, but it's maybe like a full-fledged, like every week by week, Daniel Bryan, but still it's a big deal. So, I mean,
you think like, any chance of a possible title run in this run here?
If not, maybe a shot at the title. I don't know if he'll get a run with it, but I think getting him a face Daniel Bryan against a heel Roman Reigns is like, ask for anything better. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I would be excited for that. Yeah, it's crazy. Just to hear that. I saw that this morning when I woke up because I didn't catch Talking Smack last night, but it's definitely, I mean, I think it's a smart move. You have two new kids. You just came off a crazy injury thing that happened for how many years, and like how long do you want to risk it for? I mean, it could happen again, so you don't want to really take too many chances. You're starting a family and stuff, so we love Daniel Bryan here, so anything Absolutely. He wants to do, I'm all for. He can do whatever he wants. God bless. Godspeed. Monday Night Raw. Jesus Christ.
Woof.
I don't know. Yeah, woof. We just keep saying that every week. Woof. I don't know. I have my thoughts, and I'm confused, and I think I asked you guys in this in the group chat. How do they produce a show like this and then a show like SmackDown or like NXT? I know it's people run different shows, but how does this happen? I'm just confused. Like, it's a totally different show that we're watching from anything else that they put out. And it boggles my mind. One positive I have from Raw this week, and that was the opening of the show. 6 minutes, maybe 5 minutes of the show was entertaining. Oh, there's entertaining parts, but that really stuck out to me. And of course, we know who it was. It was The Fiend and Alexa Bliss. And very happy with what they're doing with them right now. I don't know what's the plan, the ultimate plan for them. Noodles, I just want your initial opinion on the maybe you can even just chime in on what you think about Raw, but I just think more or less what they did with The Fiend and Alexa, and then even a retribution at that point.
Oh, I thought it was an amazing opening to the show. One I've really, really enjoyed for the first time in kind of a while.
Yeah.
But like we always talk about, like after that 6-7 minutes was up, there really wasn't much else the rest of the way for 3 hours. I think Raw is like the repeat haven of wrestling. I mean, every single character storyline has been repeated over and over and over again. It's tiresome. It's boring. And they don't do nothing to engage any interest in doing anything different or new. It's the same repeat over and over again. Now, with that being said, Bray and Alexa is the best thing going on in wrestling, in my personal opinion, outside of Reigns and Uso. Retribution is now officially on the extinction list. All right. It's a few more little runs at them, and that thing is over, and the Hurt Business is awesome. So, I mean, there's very few things to like about Monday Night Raw. I'd like to pass it on to Mr. Bad News in Jersey, because I know Jersey loves his Monday Night Raw. So
yeah, I was going to follow through with, to NJ3, just how they brought out Retribution. They gave us Retribution versus the Hurt Business that fast. I thought that would have been maybe like a payoff at Survivor Series or something like that. I don't know. What do I know? 30-year wrestling fan. And then T-Bar, the seems like the big shot of the group.
The leader.
Maybe not the leader, but the definitely the heavy, taps out.
Yeah.
And then Bray Wyatt comes out and takes out the whole fucking team. What? Explain this to me, please. Shed some light, Jersey.
I mean, so seeing that opening to Raw, I mean, that gets you jacked up, right? Yeah. The Fiend is one of those characters that whether WWE stumbled on it or it was his brainchild or however he was created as such, it's an absolute home run pick. It is so original. It is so good. And it allows Bray to do what he does best, which is the guy's he's got charisma. He can do it, right? He wears a mask and he gets over. He doesn't, it just his mannerism. So when you pair him with Alexa Bliss and this whole thing that they get going on, it's fantastic. And then you have, I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, Alexa said something, and I think T-Bar went back at her on Twitter, which is why I thought that led to the whole Retribution Fiend thing opening up Raw. Not versus, obviously, but why, you know, that they came out. Retribution comes out. And now keep in mind, no one had a match yet. No one had one of their first matches. They already go right to the payoff, right? Retribution, Hurt Business, boom.
Yeah.
Not like let's get T-Bar versus Shelton Benjamin. Let's get this one versus Cedric Alexander. Let's build some wins with the guys. Let's see what these guys can do as individuals. I haven't really watched Dio Madden wrestle much. We know what Dominic Dijakovic can do. And then
Shane Thorne.
You know, I've seen him a little bit with, TM61 down in NXT, but it's really more, I've seen him more as a tag team wrestler. Maybe it would be a decent idea to watch some one-on-one matches, build a little bit of, like build a little something. instead they already give us the match we kind of wanted to see, and then they lost. And they lost in a fashion where they almost looked like they got squashed in a way. And then the Fiend comes out and takes care of business, wipes them all the fuck out. Now what? Now what do you do with them? Now you have Ali come back and say, I am the messenger. I was the hacker on SmackDown. Just to kind of pay off that storyline.
Yeah,
it's bad. Bad booking.
I was going to get into the promo they cut afterwards. Like, are we supposed to take it as a threat still? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I know the Fiend's like the bad motherfucker, but he just took out four of you guys. How? What?
Yeah. When was the last time there was like a hacking event? It's been months, right?
Yeah, I think they just wanted to close that chapter.
I know, but like, who fucking cares at that point? It's over and done with. I mean, what the fuck does it matter? Like, I needed to know Ali was the fucking hacker. You just made the guy embarrassed the whole fucking 6 minutes he was out there, and he does nothing. He does nothing for anybody. It's fucking retarded.
It's wild to me. And one thing that was pretty cool, and Tom, I'll get your opinion real quick after this. I took a break from work. I work at 3 to 12 at night, and I stopped by my parents' house, and I was watching Monday Night Raw next to my father. And me and my dad used to watch wrestling back in the day. He hasn't watched wrestling in a very long time. Mm-hmm. It's funny because every time I turn on Raw in front of my dad, it's always like The New Day or Lucha House Party or like something really like funky. He's like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll explain to you later. This week, I turn on, and it's The Fiend coming out. He's like, oh, shit. Who the fuck is that guy? He's like, this is fucking scary. I'm like, I know, it's fucking cool. And like, that's was my only positive out of Raw this week. And I don't know, Tom, is there any saving retribution at this point? Like, what do you
think? Yeah, I don't think so. Like Noodle said, I mean, they get destroyed, then they cut that promo. Like, whoever said it, cut that promo. It's like, are you starting to be tough here? I mean, you just got destroyed, and now you're in the back. I don't know. Unless they got something else planned, which, you know, they probably don't. But, I mean, at this point, I don't want to say they're buried, you know, because, you know, that gets thrown around like crazy. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can take them serious. I really don't. I mean, one guy – I mean, even Samoa Joe's like, he's taking them all out here. I mean, he's a fiend. He destroys everything. But, I mean, come on. It's just, you know, just silly. It really was.
I mean, if anything, Bray looks – like,
oh, no, makes me look awesome. Star. Yeah, of course. No, I mean, he was unstoppable. Star. I mean, yeah. you know, it is what it is, unfortunately.
At one point, I actually had like faith in Retribution being like, okay. And now you just throw us back in the fucking, I don't know. I'm very confused.
I'm telling you, where it all went wrong is when they attacked the Mysterios. Once they kind of set that agenda, I just kind of saw it kind of falling at the wayside.
Yeah. You threw it out right away. It was discredited right from the start.
Yeah.
Right from the start.
Everything leading up to the Mysterio attack, I thought was interesting, intriguing, the way they were doing it, because you couldn't tell. And then once they kind of put that in front of you of what their agenda was, it's like,
that's it, done.
All right.
Yo, also, I feel, you ever think about this? I feel bad for Ricochet. My man lost Cedric to the Hurt Business, Mustafa Ali to Retribution, and then Apollo Crews to SmackDown. My man, he's all by himself now. He ain't got nobody.
The one and only. That's why this is his name.
You know where he should be doing?
NXT.
NXT. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of
there. Down there again, because he's so damn good. It's ridiculous.
He doesn't need main event shit. He main roster stuff. Keep him down where he could shine and do what he's able to do.
Just wrestle and be a fucking athletic freak. And that's what NXT is all about.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. It's so simple. Just get him out of there. And the Firefly Funhouse is cool too with Alexa. I thought that was interesting. Cool. Further that a little bit.
Like Freddy Krueger over there, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was badass. Again, only thing to take out of, well, maybe, all right, so possibilities here. AJ comes out with the bouncer from Underground. Jordan, I can't say his last name. I apologize. I will get it right soon, though. It was very long, and I just didn't want to even, like, risk.
Well, make sure to give his credits right, okay? He was the former ninja. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was the big ninja, if everyone remembers, for Tozawa.
Yes.
And obviously the bodyguard from Raw Underground.
The bouncer, yeah.
But I don't you forget his ninja. He was a ninja.
He was a ninja. That was interesting too. Well, go back to that.
Another great one, Vince. Good job, pal.
I don't know if I see this lasting long here. It just doesn't, like, I don't mind AJ with like a big guy, but it just doesn't look right to me. I don't know. It doesn't seem right.
AJ Styles needs someone like that. It's just odd, you know. But
yeah, if anything, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. I mean, I'm sure he's there to guide him to. It's like when Shawn Michaels brought in like Diesel. I'm not comparing them this scenario to it, but like Diesel was super new to the business and Shawn helped him like grow, which I thought maybe that's what they want to see in this guy, but I don't know. Noodles, just do you have any opinions on AJ getting the heater?
Yeah, I think that was, you just nailed it on the head. I mean, clearly AJ doesn't need anything, doesn't need anybody. AJ is the greatest in the world. Mm-hmm. He's just there to maybe hope, you know, maybe groom and push a guy to have an opportunity to be the dominant big man, because there hasn't, you know, they're kind of lacking in that department outside of like really Strowman per se right now.
Yeah.
And Keith Lee. So to add someone into the mix that, you know, could be of something would be nice to see, actually.
Did we get Keith Lee Strowman this week? That was this week, right? With the fucking ball sack stuff.
Did we? Yeah.
Did we
get
it?
Yes, we did. And boy, how do you have Lee lose?
Let Jersey go on this one.
Yeah, take it.
So, and just keep me honest, guys. Because I mean, we watch a lot of wrestling every week.
Yeah, this was his first loss.
Right, this was his first loss, right on the main roster. Correct. His first pinned loss, because everything's been either he's won or it's been a DQ.
I believe so, yeah.
I agree. I think everything was been
I think he went crazy, yeah.
Come on. Dude, Braun just lost on Friday night. Make him lose again on Monday. What's the problem with that? Dude, you're supposed to build Keith Lee. We already know what Braun can be. We know that he was the champion. We know he beat Goldberg in 3 minutes or less. Keith Lee's supposed to be the next big thing. And the guy just got pinned in the middle of the ring in your main event on your flagship show Monday night crap.
You know what would have been a smart move? You know what we saw so many times down in NXT with Keith Lee, him versus Dijakovic, and how no one got sick of that. I think I could argue for everyone. I don't think anyone got sick of that. Give him something like that. Why are you giving him like Strowman, a guy that can barely fucking run? And then like, just give him, why not? If you want to make this guy shine, put him with guys like how they put him with Ziggler or like Andrade. Like, let him work to the ability. Like what's different about Keith Lee is that he's a big man that can move like a 200 pounder at times, and put him in there with his strengths. And why? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Then have him lose with a low blow. I just thought, oh man,
nothing makes sense on Raw anymore.
Dude. And that low blow and a big boot
in the chest to top it off. Not even in the face, in the fucking chest.
We saw classics in NXT with him.
Yeah.
Like wrestling clinics he put on down there. The second he debuted with that shit gear and that shit fucking entrance music, you knew he was up against it. My man deserves better.
Isn't it crazy that NXT is now officially the big leagues of professional wrestling, and it doesn't get any of the recognition that it truly deserves on a regular basis? It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
stupid. It's sad.
To continue the trend of not making sense, as Tom said, Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans. Riddle me that, boys. And Ben, who's hit me with that? What?
Yeah, exactly. What? I mean, you break up one of the best women's tag teams. That
the only true tag team to top it off.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, awesome. And then a tagger with, I mean, was it a one-off thing?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
I mean, which is stupid. I mean, what the hell? I mean, come on. I mean, they both deserve better than that. I mean, come on, just it's Raw. That's all you can say at this point. So
I think Noodles had said it, and I was trying to debate it with him at the time, but now it's actually making more sense to me. They're more focused on putting tag teams together than worrying about like a singles division, women's division. And it's like, when you separate Peyton and you have Lacey, those are two girls that you should be pushing for a women's championship. Don't mash them together, because
Lacey's already a star. Like, she's already a single star. Let her wrestle Peyton. Maybe bring Peyton to the top of the
bottom. Yeah.
Why throw them in a tag team?
That could be where they're headed. Maybe they just put them together just to fill that match as a tag team, and then it could be a one-off. We don't know. It was only 1 week. Like, we say that too much, though. It's only 1 week. Let's give it some time. But then it turns out being retribution, and then
it looks like they're trying to follow the AEW plan of wrestling and just throw tag teams together every week, because it's fucking retarded.
I don't know if they do that. We'll get to AEW in a little bit. I gotta stay up. I gotta stay up for something that's decent wrestling, at least over there. One more thing, and first of all, the ending of Raw, we're not going to even talk about. That was shit, too, in my opinion. Lana loses to Asuka. And
she went through a table again.
Yeah, so I think the trend is five
this
times.
This is on the Robert Stone tank bandwagon here with Lana going through tables.
Yeah. I think that's who she needs, to be honest.
I think we all do.
My main question is for you, NJ3. Who is ready for Asuka?
No one is ready for Asuka, and that's the point. And that's why it's sad, because the way I took out of that little, I guess, four-way tag match leads me to believe that they may actually put someone with Asuka to have them go against Shayna and Nia. I don't know if you guys took that away when you were watching it. Obviously, we all watch it with a different perception. I'm looking at it. After the match is over, they come down and attack, right? I think they're trying to turn Lana face. And I think when you see that Nia and Shayna, how they came down after the match, leads me to believe that we will potentially see a storyline of Asuka and fill in the blank, possibly Lana, go up against Nia and Shayna for the tag titles. I don't want to say it, but it gave me that inclination when I watched it. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, it worries me that they would do that, to be honest, but again, I wouldn't put anything past Monday Night Raw. So, Noodles, you were raising your hand before.
Yeah, with the current state of women's wrestling, I mean, if you're having Asuka wrestle singles matches for the title, there's only one possible contender right now, and that's Bliss. The only one that's believable, yeah. Especially with her new Fiend turnover. She is the only one that can beat Asuka and win a title. No one else is even believable or could even hold a 3-minute match with Asuka to make it even entertaining. Bliss is the only one. The only one.
So hear me out. That's what I want from this, from the Fiend and Bliss thing. If there's one thing I want to see them do is push her to a title and let her like run
be
that
the
division.
Goal.
Yeah.
Be the goal.
Don't
yeah.
let, I don't need Fiend to hold the title right now. I'm okay with him being like fucking with people and then helping Bliss win, like turning the lights off and like whatever. I don't know what they have to do in order to do that. But like, cause to be honest, like Bliss versus Asuka,
I mean,
if she's regular Bliss, I still think Asuka wins, but now that she has this demonic,
gives her the edge. That's the only believable edge.
Yeah, so I'll take that all day. Just don't give me. I don't need both of them being champions right now, at least, because we know how that goes. All right, so then a little positive discussion at the end of Raw. Jersey, I think we have a solid Wednesday night discussion here. I think you could take us into a lot of positives.
A lot went on Wednesday. So, boys, yeah. I know we spent a lot of time ripping on Raw as we should every week because they deserve to be ripped on because they suck. Yeah. Joey, the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament started. And what better way to open the show with your boy, everyone's boy, hashtag shout out to Wardlow. My man, by the way, I have not had the privilege, and I want to say that, I want to stress that word. I have not had the privilege to watch him as often to see how good he is in the ring. The last match in my mind that stuck out to me is when him and MJF took on Jungle Express. That guy can move for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
He actually is. He's not just like a big heater, big muscle. The guy can actually do some stuff in the ring. And it was really cool to see him against Jungle Boy. Joey, Wardlow and Jungle Boy, did you like the match? I know we predicted last week that Wardlow would win that match. Happy that it came true. He was on an 8-match winning streak, which, I mean, obviously he's the man. Yeah. But tell me about your boy. What did you take away from that match?
Yeah, shout out to Wardlow. I think he is – I've never watched someone – this is sound like I'm blowing him, but, like, I've never watched someone and had this much hype for somebody in a long time. And I think Vince has to be – fucking hitting himself every day for not finding him, and like he might fire somebody for not firing this guy, because like this is the epitome of what Vince, I could just imagine Vince like looking at him and be like, holy shit, he's fucking great. But yeah, this match was fantastic. I think the combination of them both, and like you said, Wardlow, his athletic ability for that big man, he is the future of that company in my eyes. And I don't care if anyone wants to say anything different, but he's a future champion. If he's not, it's a shame, but maybe not now, maybe not this tournament. I think they're going to work on on finishing off the other two guys there and having that lead up to something. But I think I couldn't be more happy with what we saw from Wardlow this week. And shout out to Jungle Boy's good too, but you know.
Yeah, I got to say, I give Wardlow a lot of credit, man. Working with this smaller, quicker guy like Jungle Boy, he's actually a really good wrestler. If you legitimately watch him, he's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
That was a good match. That was a good match. That opened the show really well, and that got it going. I thought AEW did a really good job this week because they focused on the wrestling, and they kind of promoted these matches, and we got these matches, and it was good.
Shout out to Justin LaBar too, Jersey. I don't know if you know, he used to manage Wardlow in the Indies.
I didn't know he used to manage Wardlow in the Indies. Shout out to Justin LaBar. Hashtag chair shot reality.
Hashtag.
Long time.
The good old days.
The good old days when wrestling was fun.
Mm-hmm. Joey, sorry, Jersey. Joey, your push there for Wardlow was tremendous. You haven't got that excited since Bull Dempsey. It's remarkable.
I know when I get behind guys, it kind of they shit the bed. I hope AEW treats me differently in that regard. Wardlow is the fucking man. I don't know what else to say. He's the fucking man.
I'm a big fan as well.
Jacked up. It's like old. And even though, granted, his finisher or one of his finishers is the F10, kind of a shot at Lesnar, I'm okay with that because fuck Lesnar.
Wow.
Sorry, Dress took over.
No, listen, there's nothing. I'll pause for any Wardlow love anytime on this show. So whenever we want to shout out our boy, we shout him out.
Got it.
We were supposed to get Joey Janela and Kenny Omega. Okay. Janela was in contact with someone who had COVID-19. Instead, we got the Concrete Rose, Sunny Kiss, versus Kenny Omega. First of all, before we get to the match, Tom, that entrance, did you happen to catch that full entrance of what they did with Kenny?
Oh, with the girls?
With the girls, with the brooms.
Tremendous.
Boy. I mean, that was a lot to take in. The match lasted about 30 seconds. Hit him. You know, Kenny got the win. That meme that is floating around the internet now came from that match. We all had to figure either it was Janela, Sunny Kiss, whomever, that Omega was getting the win. I'm really more focused on, did you like the quick finish? What did you think about that entrance?
The entrance was definitely cool. It definitely, I think a heel persona for him. I mean, if I would think, right? And for him to squash him, like you said, in 30 seconds, I mean, is Sunny Kiss really going to compete with Kenny Omega? I mean, come on, really? I'm sorry. I mean, I know it wasn't supposed to be the match and everything, but, I mean, when he hit that one winged angel, I was like, okay, I see what they're going with that, but nah. And like you said, his reaction afterwards with the whole meme and everything was just awesome, so good for him.
Yeah, I think so. Joey?
Two things. I mean, the brooms, it's the cleaner. That's what they're going for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then apparently, I don't know if this is true. I think that's the first time he hit the one-winged angel on TV. So that's fun.
Wow, okay.
Listen, that's a good stat.
He's been in the tag team with Hangman.
That's true, yeah.
As many singles matches, they always do their finisher. So that's apparently the first time he hit it on TV. So that's pretty cool.
Great, great finisher.
Super, super excited for Kenny now.
Mr. Clean is on the way.
Yeah, this version is legit. When I think brother versus brother, I can think Louis versus Nick, or I can think Ray Phoenix versus Penta El Cerro. So we had another first round matchup, Ray Phoenix versus Penta El Cerro. These guys can work. These guys can really work, and it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Ray Phoenix got the win. Nick, I know you're brother battles. You've grown up with it, and you'll grow old with it. Watching these two guys go at it, you know, what'd you think of the match and Ray Phoenix taking the win?
I thought it was an excellent match. You're looking at two of the all-time best luchadors of all time. You know what I mean? So it's always great to watch those type of guys go at it. I thought it was a phenomenal match. There was a lot of sick hot spots. Great reversals and stuff like that. So it was very entertaining. I loved it. And it was great to see Ray Phoenix go over with a lot of guys in a little chat here. We're a Penta lovers there for a little while last week. So it was good to see Ray get the win. And it was a top-notch match.
I thought it was too.
Did you miss the bad news that Tom delivered in the group chat or no?
I may have.
Because
you guys fire it in sometimes.
Ray Phoenix got injured, and he ended up Penta's advancing to
the match.
Oh, no way.
Oh, that's sad.
That's my bad. I missed that. My apologies.
It was a nasty spot, though.
He looked like he did may have got hurt, and he kind of dragged through a little bit there. But yeah,
so that was
I didn't know it was that serious to where he's out and about.
Yeah. So, I mean, shout out to Penta, I guess, right?
Yeah, good for Penta. Way to advance, Penta. Good shit.
Yeah. Funny stuff. But, Nick, let's stay with you really quick. Britt Baker, right?
The doctor.
The doctor. We're trying to build up something over in AEW, right? They're trying to kind of build a somewhat legitimate contender for Hikaru. Britt Baker takes on Killian King. I don't know how to pronounce her first name. Yeah. She's 0-11. You think she was getting her first one against Britt Baker? I didn't think so.
She'll probably get a woman's title shot next week, though.
Britt Baker.
Yeah. She might get a title shot next week, Joe. You're right. But Britt Baker stacks up another win. She was ranked number 5 before the win. So we'll see her ranking probably go up with the win. But I know we spoke about it before, so we won't spend too much time trying to build Britt Baker back up. You're happy to see it, I'm sure.
Of course, love it.
Do you think she's probably the best credible contender for Hikaru?
No question. And she will be the next champion and face of AEW Women's Wrestling as soon as possible.
Boom. I knew you would say it. That's why I had to go to you.
Yeah, the doctor is in the house.
Doctor is in the house. All right, boys. There was two things that really jumped out at me. And I'm going to go with our main event first before I finish the AEW segment with one of the most controversial but interesting moments that I've seen in wrestling in a long time. We have the main event. It's the 4-way match. John Silver and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. John Silver's hysterical, by the way. This guy, he's really coming up my power ranking ladder. Love this guy right now. Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny. The Bunny's back.
Love the bunny.
Oh, who doesn't love the Bunny? Young Bucks and Private Party. Now, when you put these guys together, it could be a lot of wrestling, trying to fit in a lot of spots, making everyone look good, some missed spots, some good spots. You know, with the Young Bucks getting the win, Joey, with what you saw in the match, were you happy with what you saw? Alex Reynolds, he got knocked out.
Absolutely.
And the poor guy really tried his best. And I felt terrible when they were like still continuing to hit him and he was trying his best to sell it. But I guess, Joey, take me through that match. Any points that stuck out to you? We're finally getting Young Bucks FTR. I think it's kind of what we've been building up to. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, that Reynolds spot was scary. He was blue in the face. He was out cold. And then you got to keep working, I guess. The show must go on, as they say. But when the Blade was pulling him over to the corner, it was dead. It was literally a dead body. Just to get the tag in. It was like really, it was scary. And I think he came out on Twitter and said everything was okay. But like, it didn't seem like the ref or anybody was checking on him like at all. Like, guys, we know it's a show. Like, he could stop for a second. The guy looked like he was dead. Like, what if he broke his neck? We don't know. But he's okay, which is good. It's a good thing. When it comes to the Young Bucks and FTR, I mean, ad nauseum, we say it every week, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the payoff, and we're getting it at full gear. So I don't know what they can – I guess All Out is considered like their WrestleMania, right? Or is it the one in Vegas?
Well, wasn't that their first one technically, right? Wasn't All Out the first true pay-per-view for them?
So I don't know what they consider WrestleMania, but they only do like a few. They don't do 12. So I guess when this match happens at a pay-per-view, it's special. It's not going to be like they're waiting for their WrestleMania moment. But I'm okay with this happening. I think it's something that we've been waiting for. And the build's been there, whether it be little things or big things that have been happening. And now I don't know when Full Gear is exactly.
I want to say it's November 7th.
Yeah, November. Yeah.
So we still have a few weeks to add, or 2 weeks to add more build to it. So I mean, it just I'm excited. I'm thoroughly excited. This is what we've been waiting for, and for AEW in general.
And before we go to Tom and Nick, Joe, you hit a point which I didn't even think about. They treat all pay-per-views with the same, I guess, you know, importance, right?
Yeah.
Full Gear, All Out, you know, I guess Fight for the Fallen, however you want, whatever you're calling all the pay-per-views. They're kind of treating them with all the same, which is something that WWE doesn't always do. Obviously, you know, you got your big four.
Yeah.
And then you have your gimmick ones, your Money in the Bank and your Hell in the Cells. What I now find interesting when you kind of say that is they're giving it to us at Full Gear. I don't think it's that they're having full gear be the WrestleMania for argument's sake. I know I'm not saying it. I'm not saying you said that. I'm just saying, like, they're not having, okay, well, that's their WrestleMania. They're just putting a good match for a show.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting strategy. I didn't think about it until you kind of said that point before. So I think it was a really good point.
Well, yeah,
which I think could be a good differentiator between them is they have less shows, but more quality.
And that's what they do different. One of the things they do differently is that they don't have 12. Not that I have an issue with WWE doing 12
pay-per-views
or whatever, but that's where it's kind of goes. It's like that old school feel when we only had the big four, the five pay-per-views that we had to watch. But it's cool. I like it. I don't know. I'm down
for it. No, it's a really good point, Joey. I never actually thought about it like that.
Do they main event the show, you think, or no?
I mean, how could they not? Because I think the tournament's going to also end at full gear. But I think you kind of have to have the main event, the show.
And then you get Kingston and Moxley in the I Quit match.
Yeah, you get them in there too. Yeah,
I mean, you got to give them
a lot of time to work because you never know how much time it's going to take that match. Interesting. It's going to be a really good show, actually. It's going to be a really good show.
Yeah, I think so.
Tom, I guess without you know what I asked Joey. How'd you take away from the main event?
I mean, like, that whole spot was definitely scary. I mean, like Joey said, the ref could at least, you know, checked on him, you know. I mean, nothing, at least throw up the X or something, you know. I mean, God, the poor guy was just laying there. But, no, I mean, overall, you know, the match was good. And you kind of figured the Young Bucks were going to win it, you know, being that they've been teasing the whole FTR thing for months and months now. But, you know, good match. But that whole situation was just very scary. And I hope he gets better soon, Mr. Reynolds. So.
Of course. You're happy we're going to have FTR and Young Bucks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like we said, that's what we've been waiting for ever since FTR got to AEW and everything. So, yeah, hopefully it pays off well. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. Maybe the Bucks will win. Maybe FTR stays champs. And it was really cool seeing Tully Blanchard, get a little
physical. And he moved pretty well for an older guy.
Yeah, that was very cool, doing the old spike pile driver. It was very cool. So I like that.
Very cool.
A little silliness by the announcers not knowing who the fuck it was, though.
I know, yeah, that was a little.
Who else would it be?
Yeah. Well, silly is a good way to describe those announcers. Very silly.
They're a little old and a little senile, bro.
Yeah. Nick, I know that Joey and Tom touched on some points. I guess, before we go to our final talking point of AEW, did you enjoy the main event at least? Are you happy with finally getting the payoff? And did you think it was a good build to get to FTR and the Young Bucks? They didn't do it right away. It took some time, but now it's finally here.
Yeah, it's a solid build, and it's everything everyone's been wanting and waiting for. So it's finally here, and everyone's getting what they wanted. So nothing more you could ask for, right? They did it in a solid timetable, and they're delivering the ultimate home run. So
you got to figure it won't be the first time. They're going to wrestle. There's going to have to be more.
For sure. There's going to be a few go-arounds for sure, but, it'll be worth every bit of it.
Jers, do you think pressure is too high? Is it too much hype? Are we expecting a seven-star classic here? Or are we, like, is that going to – I mean, they're both professional teams. They both probably love this feeling of, like, the hype, and I think they're both capable of giving us an insane match. But is there too much pressure, too much hype?
It's funny you ask that. I think back to some of the best matches that I've seen when they were the Revival in NXT. They've always, when those takeovers came, they always rose to the occasion. Always. Those matches with Gargano and Ciampa, with AOP, AOP was in one of the matches, like it was like a three-way. There's so many good matches. And American they always
Alpha too.
Oh my God! Do you remember that? Wow, yeah, good callback. Yeah. And we've seen what the Young Bucks can do. We know why they're considered one of the best tag teams. So to be honest, I think the stakes are high. I really do think they're going to show out, and that's why I think that's going to close the show.
Fair enough. I think it deserves it, at least.
Yeah, but
a lot of under-delivering expectations come from our own hypes, right? Every time we hear two studs going at it, or like even in sports, right? You got the two best teams going at it. In your mind, you want it to be the most amazing thing ever, but sometimes it's better than you think. You might have to watch it a second time to really appreciate it because it doesn't just hit you right out the gate. You know what I mean? It's always going to be pretty damn good no matter what happens.
And they're putting this on themselves too. They making a t-shirt out of tweets they sent out of like 2 years ago, how they both it was either Dax and like Matt Jackson both tweeted out, "We will wrestle the Revival one day and everyone will rejoice." Like, so that, I mean, They've
been wanting it for years, so they trust me. They won't underdeliver this. Nah. This is the hype they've been putting years and hyping people up for it. No way.
Absolutely.
The internet wrestling community is going nuts as we speak.
Powerful.
Speaking of going nuts, MJF, Jericho, dinner, debonair. Boys, first, before we get into it, I mean, anything MJF and Jericho has my attention, right? I had no idea what to expect when they were doing this. I thought it was going to be like a conversation at a table, almost like how they have the dinner for three with WWE.
Yeah.
But they put their own spin on it, right? They weren't talking about the business as much in like that kind of quote-unquote conversation. They were kind of almost one-upping each other. When Velma came over, I think Velma was the name of the waitress. She comes over. MJF is like, I'll take a 22-ounce porterhouse with a baked potato. Well done. And then Jericho orders, well, I'll take a 22-ounce porterhouse steak with a baked potato. Well. And they go back and forth until they both end up at Rare.
Blue.
Blue.
Still mooing.
Still mooing. They then proceed to have a musical number. Very unexpected to me. I don't know how what I expected, but I loved and I was engaged by it the whole time. I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was funny. I think the two of them probably have the most charisma in the company right now out of those two. I mean, I don't know, Tom, take me through what you took away from that. How'd you feel? What do you think? That never would have got over in WWE. Just want to put that out there right now. Yeah. I want to stick with AEW in the segment, but that would have been destroyed ever came up in WWE in any fashion.
Yeah.
But take me through what you took away from Dinner Debonair.
No, I mean, the musical number was awesome. I was laughing my ass off the whole time, but I thought the best part was the opening when they're like, you know, they're trying to one up each other. Like you said, with the steak, the different, you know, how they wanted to cook. MJF being a dick to the waitress and everything. I thought it was just perfect. You know what I mean? And I mean, like you said, the musical number was great and everything. And even the ending, when they went back to the table and they bring the steak and they just bring them a raw piece of meat. I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, they're like, yeah, I don't think we should eat this type of thing, you know, but the whole segment, like you said, no way it would have except in WWE, it would have been torn to shreds, but you know, it is what it is. But no, I mean, good job by them. And, you know, anything, like you said, anything with Jericho and MJF, just we'll eat it up at this point and we'll see where it goes from here. But no, it was really good segment on Wednesday.
That's, I thought so too. I mean, the originality, I think any wrestling fan never could have saw this, how it was going to actually take place. So Joey, take me through your viewing experience of Dinner with Jericho and MJF.
What is it? Dinner de la...
Dinner Debonair.
Debonair. No, it was hysterical. It was great. You don't expect anything less from the two. I think anyone that says they didn't enjoy it is lying. I think they're just a hater. I think it may not. I know you want to see wrestling from AEW nonstop, but like this shows their range here, and that they can deliver stuff like this. They gave us Penta versus Phoenix, and then they give us the fucking Dinner. It's like, that's range, and that's good for, that's what pro wrestling is. If you don't know that, then what are you watching? I don't know.
Get the F out.
And I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes after this. I don't know if they're going to push them as a tag team, and then are we going to get the payoff as them two eventually fighting each other? I'm not sure. But I'm just, them two together on the screen, they could fucking play Candyland. I'd probably have fun watching it. So I don't know. I'm very happy with it. It was hysterical it seems like so well produced. And you see Jericho, he looked like he was about to die. Like he was so red in the face and like sweaty. It was like, I think Lori was watching it with me, and she's like, is he okay? I'm like, yeah, I think it's just hot. I don't know.
That tuxedo looked a little uncomfortable. That
yeah,
a little tight.
A little tight.
MJF's got a set of pipes too, so good for him.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Love that guy. Nick, I mean, are you having dinner with MJF and Jericho? Tell me.
Absolutely. I wish I could have been the third person at the table. So, yeah.
All right. It would have been dinner for three.
I would have been all in on the vocals for my shadow and me. There's no question about it. No, but it was hilarious. It was entertaining. I enjoyed every bit of it. Those two are two of the best in the game. There's no debating that, if anyone had any inclination of doing so. And it will be the ultimate payoff with them eventually going at it and launching MJF into mega stardom.
What a guy to learn under, too. MJF, he already has a lot of it, right? But to learn under, to work with Jericho, I mean, who better? At this point, man, shit, he's set for fucking Stardom.
And it'll culminate in winning the biggest match over one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Yep, he's going to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40.
we can only hope.
Another guy like Wardlow that Vince is like, why the fuck isn't he here? How did they not get him? I don't know if he'd be able to pull off everything he does in AEW, but shit.
Well, they have someone not as good as MJF, but someone pretty good, and they've been wasting them for years with Elias. I'm sorry.
Ooh, hot take.
Hot take.
Elias is the man. They hardly ever let him wrestle. He should be doing tremendous things, and they just let him talk, which he's amazing at, and he gets all these spots and stuff like that. But they never let him get his due with wrestling, and that's a shame.
We'll see. He's back though, so we'll see.
He is back. Let's hope.
I understand, but it's been too long. It's been a long.
No, I mean, hey, listen, we can have a whole segment and a whole show on it, but and hopefully we will. Hopefully we will.
One day.
Well, you have 3 hours. Figure it out.
Yeah.
NXT, Tommy, opening segment: Kushida, Velveteen, Ciampa. I mean, you want to start a show off with a bang. I mean, you start the show off with those three guys. Kushida gets the win. How are we feeling about Kushida?
I mean, no, it was an awesome match. I mean, after I watched it last night, I texted you guys. I go, wow, what a freaking opening to NXT this week. And you know, it was just awesome. And Kushida was very cool seeing that, but I really thought it was going to be Ciampa. But, you know, maybe they're doing something with Kushida now. You know, obviously, like, changing his character a little bit. He's more serious and everything. But, no, it was very cool. And, I mean, just the three of them in the match was just, I mean, back and forth. It was just awesome and a lot of fun. What a – just a great way to start off NXT this week. Really good job.
It was hot, and I agree. I mean, I know you texted the group chat saying, wow, what a start. And, wow, you're right. Whoa. You know? Joey, we had a Bronson Reed sighting, huh? Mm. Bronson Reed, Austin Theory. Your boy looks – I'm like a monster.
Yes.
Not only does he beat Theory once, he beats Theory twice. And he beat Theory with a thick splash. I'm naming it now. If it's not named, I'm naming it now, the thick splash. And Austin Theory quit? What's going on, Joey? Is Austin going back up to the main roster? Bronson is the new big man down there? Tell me about it.
Oh, no, big fan of Bronson Reed, though. Shout out to Bronson Reed. The modern day Bam Bam, hashtag. Just kidding.
Heard that one before.
Where'd that go? Shout out to Bull Daddy.
Talk about recycled storylines. All right.
General Raw.
No, it was a good way to put Bronson over. I'm not sure. I literally have zero clue what they're doing with Austin Theory, though. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea.
He loses every week. He beats Leon Ruff in an enhancement match, and then he loses every other time.
I'm not sure.
And he quit.
What the plan is. Maybe this is his punishment for whatever he did outside of the ring. I don't know.
That's what I thought it was, all losses, but I didn't think he was going to quit. But
I mean, he's not. Yeah.
I know people, he didn't quit, people, Joey.
So, online, people was like, oh, it's a shoot. It's like, what? Guys, come on. TV. Pro wrestling. I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. I mean, we'll get to another quitter soon. So maybe I'd like to see – maybe those two guys join up. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But we'll
get
to SmackDown. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Well, I'm excited. I like a little mystery, not to predict everything. So shout out to Bronson Reed, though. Killed it.
Yeah, man. He looked good. Nick, I mean, I know you can't get enough of Johnny and Candace, but how – dude, I mean, Johnny's new character, this whiny, you know, nervous, not confident character, him and Candace are at the house practicing on the mini wheel. On the mini training, as they call it, the training wheel. Absolutely hysterical, Johnny's character transformation is. He spins first. He gets a buried alive match. He's freaking out about it. Candace gets a trick or street fight, and she's undefeated in street fights. And then he spins again and gets a casket match. And then he has to storm off, and he goes right to bed, and he tells Candace to get rid of the wheel.
I hate wheels.
Get rid of it. I mean, Nick, I know you, man. I know you enjoy good comedy. Did you enjoy that segment? Was that funny?
Course.
Are you enjoying what Johnny's hilarious character transformation has been doing?
Absolutely. Johnny Gargano in the ring, there's nothing more that needs to be said about his greatness there. So anything that he does outside of that can elevate him to a higher stature than I think most people thought he probably would ever get to. You know what I mean? Everyone thought he was probably a pretty stale, boring dude. But he's showing such amazing versatility that the sky could be the limit for Johnny Gargano.
I couldn't agree more. I was cracking up hysterical.
Amazing.
Buried alive. Yeah. Candace, they're going to bury me alive. I hate Wheels.
Great too, man. She's like the perfect match. You know, even though, I mean, obviously they are married and all that. Everything is just perfect with what they do. It's crazy.
It's got to be fun to be able to go to work with your wife and have that much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're just doing stuff like that. I mean, it's just pure gold. And there's no faking it. It's all real stuff. You know what I mean? It's just let it go.
You know, it really is. It is pure gold. I couldn't agree more. Boys, it's main event time. Now, throughout NXT, we saw some attacks in the back on Undisputed Era. Bobby Fish attacked. Roddy Strong attacked. So we end up, instead of getting Breezango versus Undisputed Era, we get Breezango versus Oney Lorcan, the Injury Machine, and Danny Burch. Now, to be honest, I'm like, okay, Breezango, another win, keeping the titles, they'll build to Undisputed Era, right? I mean, let's be all really honest, thinking that's probably what's going to be the case. That was not the case. Tommy, what we saw was a low blow. We saw an interference from a masked man, an Iron Mask man, to lead to Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan winning the titles. The masked man revealed himself to be the one and only Pat McAfee. What? Tom, help me out here. What?
I mean, yeah, what? I mean, like, it was definitely a surprise to see him. I mean, even though he was tweeting stuff, he goes, oh, I got something brewing or whatever the hell he said, you know, throughout the week. But no, it was very – and I think this pretty much says that he's the one, because the whole Ridge Holland, he was the one of hired the hit on, you know, Cole and who knows, you know, with the rest of the Undisputed Era down there. But no, I mean, very cool. You know, what's his name? We're not high on Oney right now for what he did a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, good for Danny Burch. I always liked him. I always thought, you know, he could have been a champion, and now he is and everything. But Mr. McAfee, man, I don't know. That guy, I loved him when he was here in his match against Cole. And now him, I guess, is he their manager now? I really don't know what's going on. But, I mean, it's very cool to see. So we'll see what happens from here. But, no, it was very, very unexpected and very cool.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, Joey, whether he's a manager, we know he can work in the ring. That guy is athletic as anything. And for preparing for his first match in like 2 weeks, what he put on with Adam Cole was bar none one of the best things I've seen in recent history in wrestling. Tell me, is this a faction? I know you're a faction guy. Is this a faction? Could we see a fourth man? Is it just these three guys? Can you believe did they turn heel, Oney and Danny? Tell me about it.
Clear heel turn, I think, for them too. And I know I hated on Oney and Burch for a long time, but if you throw Pat McAfee with them, I'm sold. Give me everything. I'm all about McAfee. I think it's and you heard, did you see the promo we cut on a WWE exclusive afterwards?
No, I missed it.
If not, go check it out. The best promo I've seen from anything on WWE TV in like 6 months. Since the last time Pat McAfee was on WWE TV. So someone get this guy to run fucking promo classes or let maybe get the freedom that I don't know what they let him do by himself, but this guy just delivers something that it makes me feel a different way. Not in that way, but you know what I mean? about watching him. And I don't know what the plan is. This is might be a shot in the dark here, Jers. Kyle O'Reilly, I'm worried here that he may have something to do with this, and in the slightest way possible. He didn't get touched. No one beat him up. Cole got beat up, unless it's going to happen next week or something like that, and they're going to like spread it out. But the way it worked out for Bobby and Roddy to get beat up, and then Kyle didn't. He's like, hey, you guys can have the title shot instead. It was like is he maybe possibly a mastermind behind it? Is that too much thinking too much about it? Because we just got McAfee as the shock. I don't know. But I don't know if that would fit in my eyes. Maybe like, I know because Ridge Holland may have been like the fourth man to this group, which clearly can't happen anymore. So maybe they need another fourth man. I don't know. But I love Pat McAfee to that point where you could have put him with fucking Retribution, I would have been happy at this point. So
he might be the only thing that could save Retribution.
I would agree, Jerry.
So, Joey, good forward thinking. I mean, now that you say it, it makes sense. Ridge Holland, Pat McAfee, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch. That could be a foursome. You have the big muscle. You got a tag team, and then you have it's almost like the Undisputed Era just flipped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would, you know, you can obviously compare, you know, who to who. I mean, you have to think, obviously, Adam Cole, Pat McAfee would be the one-to-one comparison.
Yeah.
And then you can figure out the other three however you see fit. Good forward thinking. I don't know if I saw it like you did, but I guess we'll have to tune into NXT to see this week on, I guess, what comes next.
Yeah. Halloween Havoc.
Damn right. And it's going to be spooky. Nick, that was some way to finish a show, huh? I mean, talk about
big time.
Yeah. Surprise. Unexpected.
That's the best way to go about it, man. It's always
I know you appreciate stuff that you can't predict, so this was definitely not predictable in your mind. What did you 100%. Think of it, though?
I loved every second of it, and anything to do with McAfee, I would be a conductor on the Pat McAfee train if that's what needs to be done. The guy is as good as gold. Incredible. I mean, incredible on the mic is an understatement. That's how good he is. So it's great to see him involved and him to have a little feud here with the Undisputed Era. It's going to be excellent TV for the coming future.
I couldn't agree more. Boys, that was a fun Wednesday. I think both shows really did deliver this week. I appreciate what they both did. It gave us good moments, surprise moments, returns on both shows. And it was a good Wednesday, in my opinion. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I always love talking about it because it's better than Raw. Oh, it always is.
I think we might direct the show in a direction that may just skip Raw totally and just forget about it and just fuck Raw.
We only speak about it if it's speakable. Otherwise, we skip it.
And I just want to say something before we go to SmackDown, which will be quick. I apologize. The fact that we can get a storyline devoted to someone that's outside of the wrestling business that only shows up like every once in a while and was a pre-show host and we care about it that much says so much about NXT and who runs the show down there. Like, you know what I mean? And this guy, Paul, I don't know. Uncle Paul. I don't know.
Uncle Paul.
But it just says like, and it was, and you think with the wrestling community, the internet wrestling community, how much they hate on like little things like outsiders coming in that don't pay their dues. Pat McAfee has so much respect from these fans, these like fickle fans. And it's crazy because like that says a lot of what he's delivering to the product, which is cool. I just like I'm happy that that's the way it's going, at least for now. We'll see what happens going forward, but I'm happy. Like he was the one. Pat McAfee ended fucking NXT. Yeah. Well, that was the last thing we saw was his face, which is crazy to me. Fucking, I don't know. It just boggles my mind. I love it though.
It was great.
He should have been a wrestler, not a punter.
Yeah, right.
Tommy, it's never too late, buddy. Yeah. It is never too late. What, is he in his 30s?
He's like 35 or something like that.
He can have a 5-year run that could probably match people's 10-year runs. So,
oh, no question.
Don't be surprised, Tom, if he doesn't have his own
run. Seriously. I mean, the guy's just awesome. Man.
So,
think about his work he could do as a manager, too, at some point to help get people over. He could be the next, I don't want to say the next Heyman. That's pretty bold, but in something of that realm.
Yeah. Can definitely talk and help him with the, you know, so.
Now that would be a one-on-one promo I'd love to see. Sign me up for if you want to see a dream manager versus manager promo or however you want to say it, Heyman and McAfee going back and forth.
Incredible.
Unscripted.
Just let him go.
I would pay $60 just for that. You want subscriptions, WWE? Listen to this. Put a mic in both their hands and put them in the middle of the ring with a spotlight on. They'll sell it.
I can't wait till we get our – this is jumping the gun here. I can't wait till we get our first 24 Pat McAfee. That'd be fun.
It's going to come. It's going to come. But we love McAfee. We will save a little bit more love because we have to get to some predictions in SmackDown. So, Joey,
let's take it
away.
Let me run through SmackDown. I mean, it sucks for SmackDown, but they're on Friday nights. We record on Saturday, so we can only do so much here. I'll go through it quick here. I know not all of us were able to watch SmackDown last night, but I'll give you guys the gist of it. Shorty G – faced off against Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan, your boy. Jersey, I'm going to stick with you on this one, actually. Your boy, Lars Sullivan, dominated Shorty G. After the match, Shorty G said, "I quit." So that's what I was referring to before with, you know, the quitter. And later that evening on Twitter, or later last night, he had just tweeted out Chad Gable. He wants to
drive. It's about damn time.
Yeah. So I think the return of Chad Gable will be coming. And that's where I was kind of hinting at before with Austin Theory quitting. Maybe we get them two combined. I think that'd be I like that tag team. I think the idea of them as a tag team, which could be cool if done right. I know we don't like to throw together tag teams too much. But I think Gable shined the most as a tag team with Jason Jordan, and the similarities are there, the athletic ability. And just your thoughts on possibly getting the return, or we are getting the return of Chad Gable, but just thoughts on that.
Again, another shit booking. The Shorty G character was stupid. You're going to pick on a guy for his size. Come on. All right. There's certain things you can kind of get away with in professional wrestling and different eras. The whole Shorty G thing was terrible. You put him in basketball shorts and you make him look like he's a gym class hero. Like, the guy can really wrestle. He has legitimate talent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, enough. I'm happy he quit the Shorty G character. I am thrilled about the return of Chad Gable. Lars Sullivan has no talent. Absolutely hate that guy. He's complete, utter garbage. And it's just unfortunate that they let this guy wrestle week to week and waste time, especially on SmackDown, which is the better show of Raw and SmackDown.
So it's fair to say that you are ready, willing, and Gable for the return of Chad Gable.
I am ready, willing, and Gable. I don't have my towel with me.
Love that. Love it. I need one of those towels. Moving forward, we've officially had the court date of Otis and The Miz. It's crazy to me how many Raw superstars we saw on SmackDown this week. Three of them in this one segment, which is crazy. JBL was the judge. Farouk was the bailiff. I think we saw an appearance from Asuka in there too. She's on Raw. I don't get it. I don't understand. And yeah, we saw a little wiggle there. Shout out to Asuka. And it seems that Miz paid off JBL. And now at Hell in a Cell, we're getting The Miz versus Otis for the Money in the Bank briefcase. Bad news, Canale. What's the plan here?
I mean, I think this whole, one Otis thing was a counter to the whole, the musical number by AEW, on Wednesday. So I think it's like kind of their counter, I think. But anyway, and I mean, I really think Miz might win this one. I really do. I think that's where they're going with it. Do predictions a little bit, but I mean, where else can they go with it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you have Otis cashing on Roman? I really don't know, but
It's a tough call. I think it's just sucks for Otis. I mean, he had the disbenefit of losing a live crowd, which he really got over with, and getting that Money in the Bank briefcase. And now with COVID happening and him losing that luster, I feel it just sucks for him that he had that opportunity. They thought of him as getting that opportunity, and now it could potentially be taken away from him. So I know it's all booking and whatever, but it just sucks that he has to go through that. And these guys get this briefcase as it's the old school King of the Ring, where if you won the King of the Ring, you were basically one of the next guys in line, or the future of the company. And not that I maybe agree with Otis being the future of the company, but it just sucks. What else did we get? Roman Reigns announced that the stipulation in the I Quit match at Hell in the Cell will be if Roman loses, he will step down as the head of the table and take that whole mantra away from him. And if Jay loses, he will either him, Jimmy, and their whole family, wife and kids, disbarred from the family name, and or he could fall in line, as you said, and greet him as Roman as the tribal chief, Nikki Noodles. I think it might be a little obvious what's happening here, but we got a little taste of what we saw with Jay attacking Roman on SmackDown. Just thoughts on this going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this whole storyline, this family feud, has been absolutely incredible, in my opinion. Sure. I don't think anyone saw it really coming with Jey Uso getting this type of push, but the work him and Roman have done has been remarkable. It's been real. It's been powerful. They've sold a great story, and their family is wrestling royalty. So to culminate with this I Quit match is going to be really cool. It's clear Roman is clearly definitely going to win. He's going to be the chief and the head of the table for quite some time. I'm just curious to see if the Usos kind of join him and they create the family faction per se, is really the only question I really have. So I'm excited to see where it might go.
Yeah, I think it's I agree with you on that wholeheartedly. We also saw on SmackDown. I'm not going to stick around because we got to get the predictions for Hell in the Cell. Sasha and Bayley did get a signing on their contract. Sasha looking magnifico as always.
Oh, my God.
Getting the bank statement with the chair, making Bayley sign it though was really cool, really different. That feud, like we said, the women's division is very thin right now, but they're making the best of it on the blue brand. So I'm happy with that. I apologize. And now getting into Hell in the Cell predictions. This Sunday on the WWE Network, $9.99. We have five matches, so it's a short one, guys. Just five. So it's good, though. Nice little 2.5-hour pay-per-view, like an old-school feel back in the day. I think we, Noodles, who said the pre-show was announced that it was Hardy versus Elias, your boy.
That's what I read, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It sounds about right. Or if not a pre-show, maybe it'll just be on the first match we see. We'll start off with that one, then, Noodles. Who do you got in that?
I got Elias. His return comeback should lead off with a nice W.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him before. He had a nice little showing on a concert on Monday Night Raw. He actually pretty fucking good. Not gonna lie.
I'll be buying the album. I'll be buying the album. Don't worry.
MJ3, who you got for this one?
I'm going Elias. I mean, they brought him back. It's his time to finally get this run right. It's been years. Get this right. He needs to start with a W. I will also be downloading. I will be downloading the album. But I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to obviously steal it from Nick.
I'll make you a copy.
There we go.
You'll burn us all CDs.
Thank you.
I'll burn you all a copy.
Thank you.
Go down on LimeWire. bad news. Who do you got in this one?
I got Elias. Yeah. This is, you know, his first pay-per-view since he's been back. So, yeah, go with him.
Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Elias. He needs a little rub here. He needs to get back in the swing of things. So, I'll take Elias as well. Clean sweep. Next match, we will go. There's only a few, so it's not many to talk about. Otis versus The Miz. I know we just brought this up on SmackDown for the Money in the Bank briefcase. NJ3, who are we going with here?
I mean, I think the reason why they're doing this is because they want to get the briefcase off of Otis in one way or another. It's not going to be a clean finish. Morrison will get involved in some way. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be saying goodbye to Mr. Otis in the Bank, and it'll be Miz in the Bank come Sunday.
Okay. Bad news. I know you kind of hinted at that when we talked about it earlier, but just want to solidify that prediction.
There. Yeah, going with the Miz.
Okay, fair enough. I will also go with the Miz, unfortunately, for Otis. And then I don't know what they're going to do with him after this because Tucker's gone. So good luck, buddy. Yeah,
it's been exactly. El Grande Gordo.
That was fun. That was fun, actually. I actually enjoyed that. Not worthy enough to talk about, though, on the podcast. Noodles, your boy, could be back in the swing of things with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I think it's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that's more believable. Miz is a snake. You know, he's a master opportunist, so it makes sense for him to hold the briefcase. I'm just wondering if Mandy Rose will have something to do with getting the match over in the Miz's direction here. She makes a little appearance. However, it's the Miz all day.
Okay, you've been crying for this fucking Mandy Rose thing to turn on Otis since it started. Never happened. It's the only shot we got now. All right, so I'm not sure how they're going to main event this whole scenario, which is cool. I like having three possibilities as a main event, so that's pretty cool. I'll just stick with the first one here. Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell. No stipulation, just straight up Hell in a Cell match. Bad news, Canale. Who are we going with here? Tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one, but I'm still going to stick with Drew. I think he still holds on to it.
Okay, fair enough. I also am going with Drew, only because I try to, like, when you do predictions and you're picking people, you try to think what's going to happen afterwards. So I don't know what – I don't – if Randy wins, then Drew gets – I mean, I know they got rid of the rematch clause, but, like, I don't want to see Drew versus Randy again. So I think Drew needs to win, finish this, and then move forward and get and start like moving like to other guys that makes like, not that Randy doesn't make sense, but like just maybe a future, I don't know, a better matchup maybe in my eyes. Noodles, who you got?
I agree. I think it's Drew. I feel a little sorry for Randy because his work during the whole Legend Killer return never culminated in a championship.
Yeah.
But Drew's got to finish this off, and they both got to go in a new direction. Can't keep going back to this again. So sure. I'm going Drew.
Randy has 14 prior runs, so I think he's okay.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, still though, his work was like a real comeback party, in my opinion, bro.
Yeah. And he's not hurt if he does lose. So
He's another one of those guys that doesn't really need a title, but it's always cool. Like, you know, it adds a little extra luster when, you know, someone's a champion.
Absolutely. I agree. J3, Drew versus.
I think it's time to finish this feud. I think it's one match too long. I think it definitely served its purpose, but it's got to be Drew. He's got to move on. And like you were saying, Joey, and that's smart booking, right? What are you going to do next? Because if Randy wins it, Drew's going to go after it again. No.
Nope.
I'm done with this feud. It served its purpose. I am thankful for it. I'm done, Drew.
Yeah. If Randy had his opportunity to win with the ambulance match without getting pins, you know what I mean, or submitted in any way. So if they didn't do it, then they ain't pulling the trigger now.
No.
Damn right.
Shouldn't at least. All right, boys, we got Bayley versus Sasha, Hell in a Cell for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This one's actually kind of tough for me. I want to say Sasha wins it, but I like Bayley's run right now, man. And I think Bayley could still win. I don't know. Like, I don't know where they're going with this. Like, are they going to continue it after? I think they continue it afterwards. I think there's not, it's like we talked, like it's still thin with the women's division over there. And I still think they need to be the ones headlining the women's division on SmackDown. So I'm going to stick with Bayley. I think I like Bayley winning this match. I wouldn't be opposed to Sasha winning, but Bayley's cool with me. Nikki Noodles.
Bayley all day. I think this feud is far from over. I think they're going to have multiple matches to keep this thing going. And I also think Bayley will hold the belt long enough to break the all-time female women's champion record. And then Sasha will eventually take it over after that.
Do we know the record?
It's like 400 something days, right? I think it was Nikki Bella, if I'm not mistaken, right? So
okay.
I think cool. that record will be broken and Bayley will own it.
That's a good assumption there. NJ3, who got?
I think this feud is not over yet. I think Bayley does get this one, but I think this feud will finish with Sasha holding that SmackDown title eventually. I think Bayley was just announced that she is the longest combined champion with all her reigns currently. And I think she's still in the high 300s right now, at least as an individual.
Like 370 something, right? I think it's 370 something, Jerry. So.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Bad news.
I was going to go with Sasha, but after what happened last night, you know, with the whole contract, you know, basically like beating her down to have to sign the contract, I think it's still going to be Bayley. So I think I'm going to go with Bayley.
Okay. All right, I like that. And then it may not be the main event, but that's I hope it is. We're getting Roman versus Jey Uso in an I Quit Hell in a Cell match. A little different here. Nikki Noodles, I know you're getting ready to go, but what do you got?
Roman Reigns all day long. I mean, the work Jey Uso's done and Roman's done to this point has been amazing, but it's time that they, you know, find a new storyline, a new competition for Roman. But it's a lock of locks.
Yeah, I think it could be easy to say that. NJ3?
I mean, I think it's got to be Roman. You know, what he's doing with his reinvention of his character at this point is probably the best that he's done in his whole career as a single star. So you got to let this guy, when you're hot, you got to ride the hot hand, and it's Roman. But Jay is a budding single star, and it's clear. So can't wait to follow what that goes with next.
Yeah. Love to see what the betting odds are for this match. No offense to Jay, but bad news.
Yeah. No, Roman all the way.
Yeah. Same. I'm going to go with Roman. Two questions before we go. We're going to hit on one question. And then I know, Nick, I'm sorry you're ready to leave.
Not sure.
And then we'll do the MVP after that, just because I like consistently doing something. Will any of these matches leave Hell in the Cell itself tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, whatever day it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any ones in particular you want to see? Or no?
Drew and Randy will definitely leave and go on the outside. And honestly, okay. To be honest, I think you might see Jay and Roman too, because there's going to be an I Quit.
Yeah.
So I'd put my betting money on Drew and Randy.
I'd love to see for a first the women like go on top of the cage. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
And they're those two girls are old school fans, and that's when they grow up. I think they'd maybe like push for that to happen. So if anyone, I mean, if they all leave, that's cool. I'm cool with that. And then Nikki Noodles, your MVP for this week.
My MVP for this week is The Boss. Very impressed how she got Bayley to sign the contract.
and set up a much anticipated match.
Okay. Bad news.
I'm going with Kushida after that awesome match on NXT, though. Nice. Going with Kushida.
I like that, Tom. Nice pick. Andrew, three.
I'm at a tie. I'm between Velma the Waitress and the Cleaner Girls on AEW. I thought they served a great purpose this week. I thought the reintroduction to the Cleaner character for Kenny, and whoever can take an order from MJF and Jericho and get it right, that girl deserves a raise. So in my eyes, they're my MVPs.
I actually love that.
Yeah, that was good.
And you guys know where I'm going with this. Shout out to motherfucking Wardlow.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking cool.
I thought he was going to be Pat McAfee. Yeah.
He could have been. But, you know.
But Wardlow got the W, baby.
Wardlow, absolutely. Guys, everyone, thank you for joining us here. Episode 27, Wrestling Journal Podcast. We're here every week, people. Keep a lookout. Be safe. Take care. Watch pro wrestling.